President of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Your Excellency, Mr. Mohammad Ahmadinejad, you have the floor.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and peace and blessing be upon our Master and Prophet Muhammad and his pure household.
وجعلنا من خير انصاره واوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه. جناب رئيس، رؤسای محترم کشورها و دولتها، خانمها و آقایان.
To his rightfulness, Mr. Chairman, honorable heads of state and government, ladies and gentlemen,
I don't have the floor.
I thank the Almighty God for granting me the opportunity to attend this important meeting. I also have the pleasure to express my sincere thanks to the government and people of Denmark for his responsibility and for making excellent arrangements to host this event. The untiring and tremendous efforts of the Secretariat towards the success of the meeting deserves our utmost appreciation. Friends and colleagues, the climate and the earth with all its resources belong to all nations as the blessing of the Almighty God, and the equilibrium in the cycle is the engine of dynamism in human life, and any disturbance of the balance may cause negative implications in the entire human community. Regrettably, the ongoing devastating race in the world has seriously jeopardized this blessing, and failure to protect its harmony and balance will leave dire consequences in our planet. Allow me to draw your attention to the following facts. Concentration of greenhouse gases has increased 35% in the past decades, resulting in 2 degrees Celsius rise in the average temperature. Climatic conditions have been subject to drastic changes in most parts of the world. Destructive typhoons, floods, droughts, food crisis, and desertification continue to threaten various regions. Change in ecosystems that has seriously endangered the life cycle of most animal and plant species. Millions of people lost their lives every year as a result of pollution-related illnesses, and there has been a sharp increase in the number of people suffering from skin and respiratory diseases. If greenhouse gases increase with the current pace, very soon its concentration will exceed as much 2 times the concentration in the pre-industrial era. It means that instead of having a 30% reduction, there will be an increase of 50% in greenhouse emissions, posing serious challenges in our life. Excellencies, by listening to these facts and similar ones, you might come up with many questions and other facts. But the main question is, what is the reason? The answer is the increasing use of fossil fuels and massive and destructive intervention in the functions of the nation. However, there is a main and more serious question. What is the factor responsible for the growing demand for fossil fuel and intervention in the functioning of the nation? I want to analyze the answer to this question at 2 levels. The first level, which is based on the general outlook. Is the phenomenon of climate change merely regarded as an environmental problem or an issue having cultural, behavioral, and economic dimensions? Dear colleagues, social and cultural developments, at least in the past 2 centuries, indicate materialistic thoughts predominate people's mind, behavior, and relationship in a large part of the world. Capitalism can only survive only through constant increase in the consumption of goods and widespread intervention in the work of the nature. A relentless race continues to provoke consumption to increase the wealth and influence of the large enterprises. Development plans are based on consumerism, and in some parts of the world, consumerism has become a social value. Unending campaigns to increase production for more consumption and encouraging consumption for more production have emerged as an endless cycle of devastation affecting the lives of a large number of people in the world. You have seen the serious problems they have caused in the midst of the global economic crisis by printing 30,000 billions of worthless dollars as unreal wealth. Based on materialistic outlook, maximum pleasures and individualistic interests have turned into a strategic and unchangeable goal. Increased consumption and continued efforts to monopolize the world and indigenous markets, preventing self-reliance and the growing tendency to tighten controls on the production of new technologies are the product and manifestations of such an outlook, a way of thought that has an insatiable hunger and seeks more profit by provoking arms race and conflicts leading to a mounting demands for arms in the world. They are the product of an outlook on the premises of capitalist and liberal economy that needs to use low-priced fuel and destroy the nature. The political level, the ambition to gain access and control energy resources in the world has always been the root cause of wars and major international conflicts, and energy has always been regarded as a major political and security issue. For about a century, oil has constituted the basic and strategic components of U.S. security foreign policy. The same role energy has played for the previous empires. During this period, oil reached regions of the world, became the theaters of wars and military adventurism that led to foreign domination under energy resources. The United States, having 5% of the world population, consumes 25% of oil and energy, more than 80% of wood and 14% of water resources of the world. Almost 40% of the total motor vehicles of the world are moving in this country. By occupying and controlling oil wells in other countries, the country's military budget is almost equivalent to the military budgets of the majority of countries altogether, and it has an active presence in all armed conflicts and wars in the world. The so-called developed nations, with 20% of the total world population, consume 85% of world energy resources, and therefore they play a large part in environmental pollutions. What will really happen if other nations follow the same policies and behavior? American leaders and their friends emphasized continued increase of fossil fuel production, whilst they resort to various coercive methods to hinder development of new technologies intended to promote the use of renewable and clean energy. At the same time, these countries refrain from accepting international obligations and, by making unbinding pledges, frustrate the global determination to bring the unbridled concentration of gas emissions and pollutions under control. Clearly, the current climatic conditions are the outcome of a system of thinking based on egoistic and megalomaniac beliefs prevailing in some countries that seek to secure their maximum interest by maintaining their control on the wealth and resources of other nations. Dear friends, it is impossible to imagine that the present situation that will definitely lead to the disappearance of human life from the face of the planet will continue. Now the question is, what is the solution? Dear friends, it is impossible to imagine that the present situation that will definitely lead to the disappearance of human life from the face of the planet will continue. Now the question is, what is the solution? On the basis of what I have mentioned earlier, the only solution is a return to humanitarian and divine values. God Almighty has granted dignity and glory to humankind. He has shown to humans the path to perfection and love. God invited human beings to believe in His oneness and wanted them to dedicate their lives to the cause of justice. Our Lord never wanted to see the world be tyrannized with injustice and discrimination. God has invited people to respect each other's rights and love each other. He wants them to reap equally the benefits of progress and development, and stand together to share with each other the moments of sorrows and joys. God Almighty wants us to consider justice as a criterion in our relationship with other humans and other beings. He wants us to be the modest, never seeking supremacy or preponderance on others. We must be grateful that we have been endowed with all these blessings. If human societies follow values and beliefs spread by prophets, undoubtedly we will be able to contain environmental degradation, and then our planet will have a chance to remake itself and provide a more sustainable conditions for life. We must be grateful that we have been endowed with all these blessings. We must utilize our pastures, forests, waters, and their resources in a way to ensure their sustainability. We must avoid doing things that lead to the annihilation of our resources on the lands and in the sea. And in this way, we would be able to create a better environment for the world. To do so, we propose that a working group be formed with volunteers from different countries, from among dedicated and knowledgeable thinkers, who will conduct a study on the criteria for happiness and welfare of human communities on the basis of a divine and humanitarian worldview, the teaching of the messengers of God. Improved criteria can lead to a balanced consumption, thus contributing to the just distribution of resources in the world. We can create a prosperous society where justice prevails and consumption overcomes unfair competition for supremacy. And a new economic system based on justice and human dignity. must be defined, and a consumption model must be presented based on human real needs, and a model must be based on our real needs. Three, industrialized or the so-called developed nations must accept their international obligations, while measures must be undertaken to work out clear and effective mechanisms to impose economic punishments against defiant countries or defiant economic agencies. Four, it is said that over $250 billion was spent for military action in Afghanistan and $1,000 billion in the Iraq war. Isn't it possible to rebuild and develop Afghanistan and its economic infrastructures only by spending $50 billion? Isn't it possible to spend only $200 billion to develop new technologies and appropriately use fossil fuels to reduce pollutants to the level of pre-industrial era? Greenhouse emissions cause massive loss of lives in the world each year, and the number of victims is 1,000 times more than the victims of terrorist attacks. Can't we realize the goals of the convention by spending only half of the military budget of the United States? Don't you think that it would be better to spend part of military credits of Annex I countries to reduce pollutions and promote public welfare? Five, all countries must gain access to new technologies to diversify their energy sources and be able to use clean and renewable energy, such as wind, solar, sea tide, geothermal, and nuclear energies, with low prices that could be accessible by all countries in order to secure the six, in order to secure the needed budget for the fulfillment of the long-term objectives of the convention, countries should commit themselves in the special fund established for this purpose in proportion to their past role in pollution, and it should be beyond the control of the countries that had a large part in the pollution. We also propose that a general disarmament can result in a sharp reduction in the cost of production and maintenance of nuclear arsenals, which can be used for development of new technologies and poverty alleviation. We also propose that the year 2011 be designated as the year of a change in the consumption models and reduction of pollutions in the world. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, Article 50 of the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran considers protection of the environment a divine value and a teaching of the Holy Quran. And in this very connection, the government has taken the following measures. Reduction in energy consumption by promoting standards in industries and products quotas for consumption and elimination of fuel subsidies in a scheduled timetable. Using CNG and LNG gas fuel in vehicles, industries and power plants. Providing access to natural gas for 90% of population in cities and villages. years, wider-scale studies are underway on the use of clean energy, such as wind and solar energies, as well as planning for using nuclear fuel to generate 20,000 megawatts of electricity. The Islamic Republic of Iran stands ready to foster cooperation while supporting Kyoto Protocol, and it is ready to foster cooperation multilaterally or unilaterally, particularly in the optimization of energy consumption and indigenization of environmental technology in proportion to supports offered by the World Fund. And we are also ready to develop bilateral cooperation and share the result of research and experiences on the use of clean energy with other countries. And in this relation, we propose the establishment of a bank or a technology center to be transferred to China or in a member country of the Group 77 under the auspices of the Convention Secretariat. I hope that this historical meeting will be able to reach effective agreements and make concrete decisions to respond to the needs and requirements of the international community. Hopefully this meeting will provide the right response to the requirements of the international community. Let me express my heartfelt appreciations to the lovers of the nature and human life, and to all those who express their sentiments through their speeches and in these gatherings, and played a leading role in raising public awareness on the disastrous outcomes of global warming. I pray to the Almighty for your ever-increasing success in serving humanity and in the spread of human divine values, justice, and in the protection of the environment under the leadership of the saints and noble people. I thank you very much all for your kind attention.